As we continue our study in the book of Job, we're still in the first chapter. And at this point in our study, the devil has approached God, saying that Job was only good because God was so good to Job. That Job was only righteous because he had a lot of favors from God. So God allowed Job to be put into the power of Satan. He could do anything he wanted to Job, except he couldn't put forth his hand upon Job himself. So Satan went to work immediately, and he took his possessions. This included the 500 yoke of oxen, the 500 she-asses, and all the servants that he had to attend them, 7,000 sheep, and the shepherd that went with them, 300 camels, and the servants that went with them, and then the devil took Job's 10 children, the 7 men and 3 women, so that they also were dead. So we see that Job was really robbed of all of his possessions, his family, except for his wife. He was really left in a destitute condition. The devil had done all he was allowed to do against Job to provoke him to curse God. Job, who was the richest man in all the East, when the sun arose, he was now the poorest man in all the world when nightfall came. If his riches had been his only cause for faith in God, as Satan declared, now that he had lost his riches, he would have also lost his faith. But the story we have in these next few verses proves the devil to be a liar and Job to be an honest man. Job chapter 1, verse 20, where our lesson begins today, says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." Job conducted himself like a normal human being after these afflictions happened. He did not do any foolish or senseless act. He did not faint or cry out or needlessly blame another person or God for his problem. Job went into a normal, understandable grief reaction, which is what we would expect of a normal person today. He arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, most likely acts which were recognized by the standards of that day as normal acts of grief. Comfort is not possible at a time like this. It is hard for us to know how Job felt, not having had his same affliction. Had he had no emotional feeling, or had he had a feeling of joy or mirth after these great losses, it would have been a non-human response. But Job was very human, so his story is filled with much meaning for us. Job also conducted himself like a wise and good man after his affliction, like a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and shunned evil, and this is God's description of him, actually. Job fell down upon the ground in a penitent sense of humility and patient submission to the will of God, accepting whatever God chose to give. He worshiped God. This was the very opposite of the curse the devil wanted him to give to God. How unhappy this must have made Satan, yet how pleased God must have been at the actions of his faithful servant Job. Next verse, verse 21, "And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job wisely and calmly considers his position before God. No hysterics, no threats, no vile language, just a truthful assessment of his position before God. He reasons about his predicament. "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither," meaning, of course, that our bodies shall return to the dust of the earth. And this, of course, is according to Genesis 3:19, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Ecclesiastes 1:27, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." 1 Timothy 6:7-8, "For it brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content." So Job was reasoning according to the actual truth laid down in the scriptures. Job reasons that he is the same now as when he began life, so far as earthly wealth is concerned. He has been in this destitute condition before. He stood it then. He can stand it now. Job acknowledged the hand of God in the mercies he had previously enjoyed, and also now in the afflictions he was presently suffering. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. If the Lord has a right to make us rich, the Lord has a right to make us poor. He that gave has taken. We cannot argue because God did it. Whatever we are deprived of, say not I have lost it, but say it has been restored to the rightful owner who graciously let me use it for a while. You know, all of our possessions are simply things that we are borrowing for a while. The car that you drive, the house you live in, the land you may possess, it's only temporary. You're just using it for a while. Somebody else will have it later on, maybe in a different form. Maybe the elements that it's made of will be decomposed into different forms, but it'll be in the possession of someone else at a future time. Job worshiped God and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job felt that God was as valuable and as needed now as he was before. Verse 22 says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." In all this, Job did not act improperly after all these losses he had sustained. He did not degrade God, nor accuse God of being unjust or being wrong. He did not in the least reflect upon the wisdom of God for what he had done. He didn't accuse God of mistreating him in some way. Those who are impatient and not well grounded in the truth do charge God with acting unwisely, just as God does right, but we have done wickedly, even so God has done wisely, and we have done foolishly. Those who continue to keep faith in God in the face of trials and afflictions still have the praise of God, even though their true righteous nature is never recognized by other humans. This was the case with Job. This concludes the first chapter of Job. We're now ready to move into the second chapter.